mother's tired, she needs a rest. The kids are playing up downstairs. Sister's sighing in her sleep. Brother's got a date to keep, he can't hang around.
Ayo's house
in the middle of our street.
Ayo's house.
Isles House, episode 15. Before we dive into the hottest team in the National Hockey League, we got to go through some housekeeping. Not with us tonight, but give him a follow on Twitter, our co-host at EthanGSN, our other co-host, Rocco at Pizza Sports Guy, myself, Jack at Isles Den, producer Greeny at eGreenberg99, and Tyler at Bars Down. That's Bars Down with a Z. All righty, gentlemen, how are we doing on this glorious Wednesday night?
Doing well, Jack. I got to say, very nice intro.
Well done, like, Jack. Well done.
Islander defense-esque type replacement.
We learned from the best.
Runovic, Boquist, like, you just came in seamlessly. It was beautiful. Very good. Proud of you.
Thank you.
Excited to talk Isles again. It's been a fun week. Up and down as usual. Well, not really up and down. They're just winning. But plenty to talk about in Isles land.
Absolutely. And, you know, last time we spoke, I think we were heading into the weekend and the Islanders had just beaten, I want to say, maybe it was right before the Flyers game, actually, where we got the winning streak to six. And then six became seven in quite dramatic fashion. We saw Matt Barzal go down with injury. We saw Scott Mayfield go down with injury. And that game in Tampa just kind of felt like, yeah, we're undermanned. We're up 2-1, and Sorokin is just doing everything he can to keep us in front, taking advantage of our few scoring opportunities, and it just gets to overtime. I didn't look at it as a blown lead so much just because, I don't know, I feel like getting a point in that game was already kind of a win the way they came out and played. But for D'Angelo to get the overtime winner on that pass from Horvat, you just couldn't write a better script to get that winning streak up to seven. Am I right?
Oh, it was beautiful. And you know what? The one in Florida was tough, but it kind of feels like a scheduled loss. You know what I mean? You go two back-to-backs in Tampa. You got a goalie in there that first NHL game, who knows, maybe scary. Last NHL game. Scary for sure. And you know what? He wasn't terrible, but I felt like there were moments that he kind of looked out of place. And I don't want to slander the guy because that's a tough position to be in, right? You come up, your first NHL start is a game playing the defending Stanley Cup champions on a back-to-back night, and the roster's already banged up, new defenseman in there. He did okay, but, you know, it's just always going to be tough to win in those type of circumstances. I think the split was plenty acceptable after the Florida trip, and they just keep playing hard. I don't know how to explain it. People ask me, and I just say, it is what it is, and they're playing hard, and you got guys that have chips on their shoulder, and they want to win, they want to prove themselves, and the fresh blood has been working. You know, we were begging for it when we were at our lowest this season, right?
Absolutely.
We need a change, the defense, the forwards, the goal, whatever it was, we were begging for changes, and it feels like immediately when it happened, it's been paying dividends. I mean, D'Angelo's look solid. I really like Boquist's game last night. He made that one really nice pass to Pageau, kind of handcuffed himself a little bit, Pageau, and put it back off the goaltender. But he makes nice plays. I know the defense probably isn't really there, but as we said on the last pod, it's okay to have one guy that's a Vizhnovsky type that brings that offense on the blue line, and you could just rely on in that, and then you could shelter him bottom pairing minutes, 5-on-5.
Yeah, I think there's more of – sorry, Jack, go ahead. No, I was going to say I just think there's more of like a creativeness, which we haven't seen.
100%, so like, especially from the back end.
No, that's exactly what I'm talking about. Like,
yeah.
So Boquist might like, I really, all of their new defensive guys, they might leave a little bit to be desired in their own zone. But I think the trade-off of them actually being an offensive threat and actually being able to move the puck out of their own zone, the Islanders have had more chances off the rush, at least like, in my eyes, completely unofficial than I've seen for like most of the year. And it's just because they're effectively breaking the puck out of the zone.
Yeah. The outlet passes. Night and day.
Absolutely. I think it was Thomas Hickey on the broadcast yesterday was he was kind of raving over Perunovic, and it wasn't anything special. It was just like he basically like stopped a rush the other way, and then instead of just lobbing the puck to an area out in the neutral zone, he like made a quick cut back in his own zone, fired a tape to tape pass, and they got a chance off the rush. And it's like that hasn't happened before.
And I think
Watching
he
him.
also made a big play on the Nelson goal, if I remember correctly. Or two, he made at least one play where he kept the puck in.
And that was I think that was D'Angelo who put it
Oh, that was
deep,
D'Angelo. I'm
and
sorry. Yeah, I
then
knew it was one of the new guys. But yeah, they're all making plays. And Perunovic, I like too. He's pretty poised back there.
yeah.
Credit to
Well, can
Jack. He
you
was on him. Scouting in St.
well
Louis. He was on him from the beginning.
he was in the zone last night, and like we're trying to develop a play offensively, and he's just like skating backwards, he's gliding, he's got the puck, like there's pressure on him, and he just looks so comfortable and so poised. It was just so nice to see that. It was probably a really like unimportant play in the game, but just watching him look that comfortable in that spot is just, it was refreshing to see. But going back to the game on Sunday, there was, so Skarić's in net. I mean, I think it was okay. Like, I think we got what we thought was going to happen. And I was just proud of them for not packing it in and getting embarrassed. So they're down 2-0 at the end of the first period was just a disgrace, but that's fine. I mean, they just lost their best player. They have their fourth string goalie in net that I don't think he's ever going to play another NHL game. And I'm very happy for the guy. He gets to say he played in the National Hockey League. Like, I'm not even joking. Like, great story to tell your kids. Like, that's unbelievable stuff. Gave him the start, and we're down 2-0. And then out of nowhere comes the comeback where, to cap it off, you have Gatcombe get skating out of the box on a breakaway to give us a 3-2 lead. He misses. You're like, yeah, too good to be true. And then Adam Pellick fires the puck and he deflects it in. And then we're up 3-2. It's like, this team will never be stopped, ever. Like that, like 5 minutes that we were up 3-2 was unbelievable. In the house of the Stanley Cup champions with your fourth string goalie, your best player hurt. Like that 5 minutes was incredible. And of course, we know the result. We lost the game, but I was just happy that they didn't pack it in. They gave us a good effort. And last night they came home to play Vegas. It was a big 2-1 win. And, you know, I really think the winning streak could have possibly been 9 if they had played Sorokin on Sunday. Totally fine with them giving him the night off, but like deep down, like I really wanted Sorokin to come in net. Like when it was 2-2, did that creep into your guys' minds at all?
Yeah, I mean, more so at the end of the game, I remember thinking if Sorokin's there, like we could have very well won that game. But you got to keep in mind it's a domino effect. So if Sorokin does play Sunday, how does he look against Vegas 2 nights later after going in a back-to-back? So it's all something the coach has to weigh. And I think he's done a good job with it. I mean, you had to put Skarić because how many straight games had Sorokin gone prior to Skarić getting the start? I know
A
he.
lot.
Hogberg got that one game, but I feel like that's a bit ago now.
Can you
I
even get
think
the
that was
full
at four or
game?
five games ago when he broke when he hurt himself in
So it was, I think
was against
it was
Ottawa. I
really,
think he got
yeah, it
hurt.
was early in the winnings, or actually, I guess
Carolina.
before
It
the
was
winning
Carolina.
streak.
I
It
was
was
at the game.
Carolina. Was it
I
Carolina? All
think
right,
it
so
was
that was
Sorokin came in.
Saturday. That was Saturday the 25th.
Yeah, they won an OT because Sorokin came and got the win just for playing OT and facing like
Yep.
not even a real shot.
He just spawned
Yeah,
into the net. It was crazy.
so he just had played 3 games since then. And I mean, he's probably gonna play, we think, the games this Friday and Saturday. You think he's gonna get
Definitely. You think
both?
he goes both? Yeah,
Yeah,
I
he
think
had
he
probably he
does
might
because
as well.
they have a long break after. So it's he plays the Saturday and then what does he have? A week and a half off. How long's
More than
the break?
that.
2 weeks?
It's 2 weeks. They don't come
Oh, he's
back
playing
till
both. He's playing both.
Sunday 20
I'm sure he
something.
wants to
Yeah.
play both too. And it's not like he's even going to Four Nations. So he gets the 2 weeks of rest, go down to the beach after, do whatever the hell you want. I think he's going both. And I think as the franchise guy, you kind of got to show the boys that, you know, you can't put. And if Hogberg was available and the way Hogberg was playing, I think it would be fair. But with Skarić, I don't. Again, I just don't think it's even fair to Skarić because he's an AHL goaltender, if we're being real. And it's not a slight on him, it's just a fact.
He
And
probably
so
knows that better than us.
he knows that better than us. But I think you ride Sorokin because it doesn't, it's two games. It's not much.
And I mean, like, Shkark was, like you guys said, he was the fourth goalie on the depth chart going into the year. I mean, like, this was not, he wasn't even the worst case scenario going into the season. Like, you never thought you would get to him.
No.
And, you know, to your point before, Rocco, like, I was just peeking at their schedule once they come out of the Four Nations. They don't have a back to back until that first week of March, which is Rangers and Winnipeg. But it's not, that's not even a back to back with travel because it's at MSG and then home against Winnipeg. So like the first true
It's a light
back-to-back
back-to-back, yeah.
is the 8th and 9th when they're in San Jose and then in Anaheim the next night. But like those are two winnable games anyway. So you can still end up going with if it's I think it should be Hogberg back at that time in like a
Yeah, I
month.
think he's got to be close by that time at least.
So this topic that we started off with was actually we did go over it, but we're supposed to be sharing our biggest winning our biggest reasons for this winning streak. And I have to say, might be surprising coming from me, but I don't think that I can be convinced right now that there's been a better goalie in the NHL over the last month than Ilya Sorokin. And it's just kind of crazy how new information comes and how quickly your opinion can sort of change. And as I have out in front of me here, the salary cap is going to be rapidly increasing over the next 3 years. So 2 months ago, when Sorokin's save percentage was below 900, maybe he wasn't at full health yet. Maybe he just wasn't in rhythm yet. And with that current salary cap, the Islanders are going to be pretty tight for the future lockdown with him. And then suddenly, that contract ages. So then 2 months pass. He's now the number one star of the week. His numbers are flat out ridiculous. Greeny will get to that in a little bit, but you know, that contract looks a lot different now with the salary cap going up. And I just want to give him his flowers. He's been unbelievable. And watching him play right now is surgical. He put the team on his back last night. Last night was a classic case of your goaltender stealing the game.
And I think he got NHL First Star of the week, technically the week prior, right? Yeah. So if I had to pinpoint and put the reasoning on one person, I'm actually going to give it to a guy I was hard on a couple of weeks ago when we were giving grades. I'm going to give it to Wah. The reason being, I just think he's doing a really good job of motivating the boys right now. I watch them play. They seem to be, I'm not saying they weren't bought in before, but they seem to be playing more together. It seems to be, the defense is in lockdown mode. They've been playing really good team defense. Maybe it's because he got some guys he wanted in there that could, snap the puck around. Maybe it's just getting hot at the right time. Whatever it is, you gotta give flowers to Patrick Waugh because he's got the boys going. And listen, it would be very easy for these guys to lay down after your, in my opinion, best player, arguably best player, Matt Barzal, goes down late in the Tampa game. When you go into Florida back to back, you could easily just chalk it up to a loss and lay down. They still lost, but they fought, and they fought against a team that on paper is much better than them. So I give him credit for that, and I give him even more credit for getting them up for the game against Vegas. Playing, they probably got a little outplayed overall. I would say there were spurts where it felt like Vegas was dominating, but they found a way. It was, as Ethan said a couple weeks ago, it's trot style hockey, honestly, where they kind of lull the other team to sleep and then boom, goals in the back of the net. Somehow, some way, they find a way to score a big goal. Nelson, that was a sick deflection, by the way. I feel like that kind of went underrated. That was
Yeah,
nasty how he,
beautiful.
oh, how, like, I had to watch it a couple times to kind of understand how he even did that. Going and getting a new stick and whatnot. It was a really cool play and just a nasty deflection.
Was
And shout
beautiful.
out to the equipment manager getting him a new stick like
Yes.
5 seconds
That
before he did
was
that.
awesome.
Yeah.
Lenny, I forget his last name, but yeah, shout out him.
He should get
Yeah,
credit for an
Lenny,
assist.
seriously. But like just
But
to kind of piggyback on what Rocco said real quick, like yeah, I think Patrick Waugh deserves credit, but I also think it has to do a lot with Sorokin's play. And like, I didn't think he played necessarily bad per se, like before, but
early in the
this
season,
is,
you mean?
yeah, like early in the season, like
He
he
was
wasn't,
average.
he was average, which I guess you need him to be more than average, but he's been playing out of his mind for the last month. And I think that gives everybody else a little bit more confidence.
Yeah, he's put the team on his back, honestly.
And he literally has.
One player I wanted to mention too, Adam Pelech has been unreal also. He has 9 assists, I think, in the last 13 in his last
Where did that
13
come from?
games. And he has just been fantastic this season. And the one complaint that my father had listening to our show a while back was, you guys are too hard on Pelech. And he might have been absolutely correct on that. Actually, he might not have been. He was absolutely correct on that. And something I just love about Adam Pelech, when he's on the ice, when the other team scores, he is literally all of us. This guy puts his hands on his head. Ethan's mentioned this last year. It's like his kid died. He fucking hates when the other team scores while he's on the ice. And I just love the raw emotion I see from him. And he's honestly like one of them. He's just such a great Islander. Love Adam Pelech. And it's really amazing to see him turn it back around here.
Yeah, and I
And
think you got to
he's.
give Pelech
Oh,
some
go ahead.
credit too. He's looked really good since Pulak went down. I feel like each guy has kind of had a moment, not each guy, but some of the big players. Horvat has, it's only been a game or two, but he was awesome last night after Barzal went down. Pelech's been real good after Pulak went down. Sorokin, Varley goes down, and you got to ride Sorokin now. And he's been, I think he's been pretty much lights out since Varley hasn't been playing.
Oh, yeah.
And even
Plus, they're
Högberg, like
actually not good
Högberg kind of
either.
got thrusted into the role of the backup and has done wonders before getting hurt.
And Adam Pelech is actually now the only Islander defenseman that's played in every game this year, which
Amazing.
is
No, I
a
thought
miracle in
Pulak.
its own right.
No, Pelech hasn't. Pelech?
It's
Yeah.
Pelech. That's
Pelech.
what I
No.
saw. Pelech is
Are you sure? Didn't he break his?
yeah.
Didn't he miss a couple? Because I thought it was Pulak and then Pulak got hurt.
I'm going to check. I'm going to go to our wonderful statistician, Eric Hornick, who I believe confirmed this yesterday. Let me just double check.
So unpredictable, the injuries, man. That's a crazy statistic.
But either way, even like the fact that there's only like one or two guys, because I think the only forward that's played every game is Brock Nelson. The fact that there's only been two guys that have played in every single game, that in itself is insane to me.
That's
It's wild.
ridiculous.
Yeah,
It really
well, let me
is. And
confirm this.
there's been a lot of debate around this team recently within the fan base. And I won't lie, like I kind of looked at a lot of this winning streak when Dobson went down. I was vocal about how I wasn't enjoying watching his game this season. The last part about this winning streak topic, where I kind of want to ask you guys a question. Could it be that it's Pulak is a problem, or are none of them problems, or should we just throw this all out the window? Is
I
this just
think
like all luck,
you're
or
just talking in regards to the defense, correct?
I'm just sort of asking you, are we putting too much of the focus on Dobson being out when in reality it might be Pulak that maybe Pelech looks worse playing with Pulak? Maybe Pulak is a problem that we just kind of ignore almost.
I think the influx, as we said before, of puck moving guys and speed guys and skilled guys on the back end has just helped the unit as a whole. So, in my opinion, it's not fair to say Pulak's an issue or not as good as his, not living up to his contract or whatnot. I just think it's situational where now they have these guys that have really stepped up. And I think it could be a pretty smooth transition once Pulak's back because you can now maybe put him in a role where it doesn't have to be Pulak Pelech. Maybe you can mix it up and put Pulak with a puck mover, Pelech with a puck mover, and it balances things out better. So as a whole, I would just say it's more balanced now, and that's helped everything.
Yeah, agreed. And we're going to go into our next, which is injury updates. Rocco, do you have anything for the injury updates? Because we usually get those from Ethan, but
Yeah. So we have, who do we have? Barzal and Mayfield, correct? Those are the latest two since.
I'm personally more curious about Scott Mayfield. I haven't heard much about that injury at all. We know Barzal's out indefinitely, but Mayfield's got that day-to-day tag, which we really
So,
don't know.
yeah,
Day-to-day
Mayfield's
is
got the
not day-to-day.
day-to-day. Day-to-day is never day-to-day. Well, sometimes it's day-to-day and sometimes it's year-to-year. Yeah,
It's
I don't think
true.
Mayfield is a long-term worry. I'm not exactly sure when he'll be back, but I don't like I could see Mayfield coming back right after Four Nations, where Barzell, even if they make the playoffs, I'd be surprised if he played. And that's all I'm
Gotcha.
going to say. So, as Ethan would say, I don't have a black truck pull up to my home.
And this is just something I wanted to share out of nowhere. Something that like I've been thinking about during this winning streak and with the salary cap going up. In the last calendar year, I'm going to list you a few names that have been added to this team. We're going to start with Maxim Siplikov. He's obviously on an entry-level contract. He's been fantastic this season. I really hope we lock him up for a long time. Anthony Duclair, when the contract was handed out, everyone said it was a steal. Good deal. But the issue is he's injured and we haven't seen the best of him. You can't convince me that that
Jury's
guy
still
hasn't
out.
been.
No, listen, we know what the injury is. It's a groin. He's a speed guy. It holds back his speed. He's not able to play to his strengths. I think anyone judging Duclair off this season is being very unfair because he can't play his game. And I will say though, looked good last night, I thought.
He did. He played his
He
best
did,
game in a
right?
while.
I haven't seen that burst from him, but last night saw a little bit more burst. I think they put him with Horvat and Lee, if I remember correctly. In that Barzell spot. And he's looked good. He looked good that one game. So hopefully he keeps up.
I agree. So we have Siplikov, we have Duclair, where we'll say the jury's still out because of the injury, but I think we both have good feelings on it. We have Scott Perunovic now, Tony D'Angelo, Boquist, and now we have Marcus Hogberg. So all of these signings have been pretty damn good in the last year. So the Sleepy Lou narrative is a little bit, it's a little, I'm a little bit iffy on it right now. Plus the fact with the salary cap going up, all of a sudden, all of these quote unquote horrible contracts might turn out to be pretty good. For example,
Couple bargains.
Scott Mayfield at 3.5, he's been good this year. Although he's injured now, he's been good. He's one of
What
the
about that
best term.
term, though? What do you think on that term? Like, how's he going to age?
The term isn't great, but with the cap going up, it's just not a problem. I really have no issue with it. And also, Sorokin, Barzal, and Horvat are all signed on contracts that would have been paid more. You could maybe make one argument there for Horvat, but you're really stupid to get there. So I think that underratedly, Lou has actually done a really nice job in the last year. And I think that he's earned the trust of this fan base with whatever decision he makes. Like, I think it's time that we back him again. I also, the way the team is playing on the ice, I think that that trickles down from his office all the way down to Wah. Like,
He's got everyone watching Rocky.
when you win games, true, but when you're winning games with your lineup so depleted, that just kind of reflects the culture that is inside of the room. And it's fun to make the country club jokes and everything, but I'm really impressed with how this team is sticking together. And I'm impressed with the acquisitions he's made. And I'm curious to see what he has up his sleeve this deadline. I really am. And I'm happy with him right now. I think he's still got it, man. I do.
When
And it
you
took
can I
a
push
while.
back? Go, Jeff. I was
Yeah,
reading for a second.
I
Go, yeah,
expected
because
to.
you're going to be the
I want to hear you
Jekyll
guys.
Hyde to this.
So I agree he's made good moves. The ones
And
that you
gave up next to
listed
nothing.
and gave up next, he gave up, what was
A
it? Fifth
fifth
round
round pick
pick?
for all of those, basically.
Guys, he's been cooking. So
He's been cooking
100%.
last couple of weeks. You got to give him his due. Love him or hate him, you got to give him some credit. And I'm sure Greeny is
Absolutely.
about to.
Absolutely. He definitely deserves credit. The one thing that I'm critical on, and I was critical on him last year. Obviously, we didn't have a podcast then, but it was the moves he's making that end up being positive moves are only coming to fruition because of a negative circumstance. None of these moves he's making, if there weren't injuries to their existing defense, these moves actually ended up making the team better, like including the injuries, like it made the team better all around. But he wasn't making these moves unless Pulak gets hurt. Or, I mean, they literally lose half of their defense. Like, there's no Perunovic, there's no Tony D'Angelo, there's no
I'm just going
Boquist
to
if
stop
these
you
guys are
quick.
hurt.
I think there might be one of those moves at least, just because as much as we all like him, and he was a nice spark plug when he first came up. Isaiah George kind of came crashing back down to earth. I feel like he made some
He ran out of
mistakes.
gas.
He ran out of gas, and it's fine. It's a young player. He hasn't been a pro for that long. So I could have seen one of the moves, not all of them, but just for George, like I could have definitely seen Perunovic still being a trade, and then they would have made the Perunovic trade and sent George back to the A. So
See,
I get what you're saying, Greeny, because it is true. Like if they're healthy, there's no shot they have all three of these players. But I think you could argue they would have one.
no,
For
and
so
that's
long, I
fair. And
was just.
I was gonna say, like, you shouldn't, like, I don't want to penalize him for doing that. Like, he made the good
You have
acquisitions,
to,
he got
yes,
the
you have to
players in
be able
here.
to
Like,
pivot.
that's totally respectable and that's fine. But like, if we rewind to last year, like, Mike Riley ended up being a positive acquisition. They're not getting Mike Riley if their defense wasn't completely banged up, and then Riley ended up being placed on waivers by Florida. Like, it was, you have to be, or you have to take advantage of the opportunity that presents itself, which is totally fair and good on Lou for doing that. It's just like, I ideally want to see the general manager be more proactive before, like, these were moves that should have been made before an injury opened up the roster spot. That's all I'm saying.
Because
I
the roster
do.
at camp, those six defensemen clearly weren't the right fits. And
Exactly,
we were
exactly.
banging the drum on this pod about that for a bit, where we were saying this six is not going to work if we want to win anytime soon. And it wasn't even that we were saying it was one specific guy, it was just the group as a whole. And now you really see it now that they added these puck movers because they look so much better. Just by creating, and there will be these times where a D'Angelo, a Perunovic, a Boqvist makes that big mistake that annoys us. It's coming. That's the
Yeah,
type of players they are. It's going to happen. We're on a hot
inevitable.
streak right now. If they begin a losing streak, we know there's going to be a bad turnover or two. That's the give and the take with those sorts of players. But you need a couple of them, and it just felt like we didn't have any. We didn't have any. And Dobson's supposed to be that, right? But Dobson, to me, maybe that one year was just an outlier year and he's not this offensive dynamo we thought he could have been. Because when I know a lot of people will cry about the confidence, but to me, it should just be there a little bit more. It's even if you're not at your most confident, like it shouldn't be feast or famine. And that's what it feels like with Dobson. That one
And
great year. And mind you, that one great year, if we remember correctly, he finished very slow. He was on pace for way more points than 70. He was on a point per
was
game at the beginning. He looked great. And then he hit a wall, and that was that.
he hit a wall. It kind of
But
felt like after
wow.
Lambert got fired.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And that might have been because Lambert was more the type of guy to give him free roam in certain ways, a la Doug Weight back in the day when they had that free flying offense, Barzell's rookie year, that he went nuts.
But I also think it's telling, like, look at the two defensemen that were here before that their play has gotten significantly better since they made all these moves. The two that jump out at me, it's Alex Romanov and it's Adam Pelech. And it's
And
like Pelech
is it
was
just
bogged
new
down by Paul.
partners?
Exactly.
Yeah,
It's
is
like
it as simple as different partners? It could
different
it
partners
feels
that
that
bring
way.
something else to the table. A
Th
hundred
that it's a
percent. A
different,
hundred
yeah, that
percent.
blend better with them. It's
It's like Scott
just
Mayfield played better with Devon Taves, who is a puck mover, and he always
right.
played better when he was paired with like Mike Riley in recent years. Then I don't
Right.
even know who he was paired with, this season. Like some guys play better when their partner complements what they do, and now I think you're seeing more of that than before all these guys got in here. I don't think that's a coincidence.
No, not at all. But we ready to move on to the next topic?
Yes, we are. That will go into some of the trade noise we've been hearing. Obviously, Elliot Friedman had a lot to say about Brock Nelson early on this week. He said, listen, there just hasn't really been any indication that the Islanders are looking to move him and that it's Lou Lamoriello and the other executives want to remain respectful. And with the current winning streak, with Barzell possibly going on LTIR, will free up the Islanders with 9 to even more probably. I don't even know who's on LTIR, but I know that we will have the cap space to make some adds And whether they're long-term buys or short-term buys, we have a list of a couple of players that we kind of want to dive into. But yeah, and we don't know. Nelson could be going the other way. These are potential players we might get back for teams that are pushing for the playoffs. So yeah, we'll dive into it. But the Athletic posted their mock trade. So I'll go into this guy first. It was Brock Nelson for Casey Mittelstadt and a second
Oh.
round pick from Colorado. Now, Mittelstadt's actually a player that I wanted the Islanders to look into acquiring last year. And it's a good thing that they didn't because now his stock is down. What do you guys do when stock is low? You buy. I'm buying Casey Mittelstadt low. I don't want to trade. I don't know if I want to trade Brock Nelson for him. If it comes to that, then I'll need a little bit more than Casey Mittelstadt on a second round pick. And that's really just because, as well as Mittelstadt played in Buffalo, I was more projecting that he would become a second line center. I haven't exactly seen that same progression this season. And everyone else agrees with that. So if we're going to take a chance on that being our second line center at 5.9 million for the next 6 years, I believe, 3 years, it's a 3 year deal. We're just going to need a little more than a second. What do you guys think?
Well, every
I don't think I'm
question I
making you
ask,
my financial advisor anytime soon with that buy low.
every question I'll ask in this segment to the two of you will have to be, well, what are we giving up?
For Casey
Like,
Mittelstadt, I mean, I could see Casey Mittelstadt being that type of guy that Colorado moves just to create room for someone else. And if that's the case, I wouldn't be totally opposed to it. I just don't like the price tag of his AAV over, I believe, the next 2 years, Jack. Five, what did you say? 5.5.
5.9 over the next three.
So three more after this year.
I know, including this year.
So two more. Yeah, this year plus two more. I don't love it because there's risk involved, right? So if Mittelstadt doesn't improve from how he's playing right now in Colorado, you're kind of stuck with him. And I don't love that idea. If it was just next year, I'd be a little more willing to take it on. I just worry this could be what he is. And then
He has
you're.
nine goals in 55 games, by the way.
How many points?
It's a down
Nine
year.
goals, 23 assists, 32 points in
But
55
for me, it's a
games.
little bit of an issue having a down year on an offensive juggernaut like Colorado. If
Exactly.
you're on an Islanders type team, I could accept it a little more. But when you play with Nate MacKinnon and Makar and Rantanen until a few weeks ago, and now you have Natchez, and I don't even know if he plays on a line with these guys, but you know, they're
Nichushkin's been out
there.
of the lineup, so their lines have been a little. Nichushkin with
That's
Rantanen getting
fine, but
traded,
no
they're.
matter what, because you have those studs, you're going to get beneficial matchups, right? You're never going to go against a team's top pair because they're focused on the MacKinnon line. You're
Look,
either playing with MacKinnon or you're benefiting from MacKinnon. So I have a
he's
little
been
bit of a problem
listed.
with. Go ahead, Green.
I was just gonna say he's been listed as their 2C playing with Jonathan Drouin, and for right now, it's. This kid Parsonen, but I don't think Parsonen's been playing with him. But he's been
He
their
hasn't.
firm 2C because I believe Rantanen for most of the year was playing on the top line before he
Yeah,
was traded, right?
they're definitely top
Yeah.
heavy, and I kind of understood that part of the Rantanen deal, but I don't know. For me, I need to see a little more for Mittelstadt. I wouldn't be upset if he became an Islander, but I certainly wouldn't be jumping for joy. I'm kind of in the middle on him.
I'd be excited only
I know, well,
because.
he's a hashtag Den guy, so
He's a Den guy for
I
sure.
think
The
he might be
thing,
the OG Den guy
he really
of
might
our
be.
relationship, not back to like your
No,
childhood.
he definitely is. But the thing is with Mittelstadt is at 5.9. So we right now pay our third line center 5 million, and that is in a brutal time with the salary cap. We've questioned that contract before. The worst case for me is Mittelstadt. The absolute worst case is that this guy is a very high end third line center at age 25. I just think that
But
there's.
is he a shutdown guy? Like, to me, like if you're a team going to the playoffs and trying to win, you want your 3C to have a little bit of shutdown ability. That's my opinion. Like, it's fine. It's nice to have those skill guys and, you know, those guys on the wings that could flash every now and then and play solid two-way hockey. But I think a lot of these teams that are trying to win a cup like their 3C to be that shutdown guy that faces the MacKinnon line, faces the McDavid line, faces whatever team's top line. And I don't see that in Mittelstadt now, and I don't really see it in his future either. So I think he kind of is the type of player that he has to fit as a 2C, or it's really just never gonna work how it should have with him.
So you don't want to give up. Ultimately, you don't want to give
I would
up
take
much
him.
to
I would
get
take him
him.
on the cheap. I would take him on the cheap.
I would take him up for like a, I would take him for probably a second round pick and maybe like a prospect in there that isn't the most like
Yeah,
Jeffrey Knott, a Nelson
sure. But
Nijmegen.
I think my issue with him is not as much the capital it would take as much as it is the cap room it would take going into the offseason. Because, and I'm sure we'll discuss this in a bit, I think all of us are kind of eyeing a bigger fish here in the grand
Definitely.
scheme of things when it comes to the Islanders. So if you hand out that 5+ mil to Mittelstadt, that takes it away from a Nikolaj Ehlers or a dream scenario of Mitch Marner or whomever else may be on the open market this summer.
But how does your mindset then
Absolutely. And I just want to
change?
go into like a few guys. These are some of.
Oh, sorry,
I'm sorry,
Jack.
Greeny.
I was just going to say, does your mindset change if the Islanders offload one of their big contracts? Like if they, you bring in Middlestat and then it's like Brock leaves in the offseason and you
I'm good with
offset
that.
Brock's salary with
I
Middlestat.
don't see my thing. I'm okay moving Brock, but it has to be a player that's at least on par with Brock. And I don't think Mittelstadt's there yet. Yes, Brock's getting older, so you have to be careful with his next deal if there is a next deal. But I don't think Mittelstadt's covering close to 30 goals, 60, 70 points. I don't think he's ready to cover that yet. So
He's
to
not.
me, he's not. So I don't think it's an adequate replacement for Brock. I think he'd be more of a Palmieri replacement, but he'd be more of an expensive Palmieri replacement. So that's why I'm skeptical on him.
I'm with
I
you
just want to
100%.
go. So ultimately, I want him. You guys are like, eh. So we're gonna go into a few guys that would just be like
Yeah.
perfect dream fit for us.
Buy or
Like,
sell on since Jack went into finance off the top.
yeah. So we
Bullish
have.
or bearish?
We have Elias Pettersson, who I've been watching the Canucks the last few nights. It does not look right. It just looks like a player that is mentally not there. He's just not playing to his capabilities. You could just sense that something is really off in Vancouver. You have Mitchell Marner, and you have someone who I kind of re-spoke into existence today, Jordan Kyrou. Now, last season, they're best beat reporter, the guy most plugged into the team, Jeremy Rutherford. He's on The Athletic, does a great job. He went on a radio show and he said, I'd be surprised if Jordan Kyrou is on the team through his full 8-year contract. But the most important part is he said, I think there's a 50 to 60% chance that he's moved before that no trade clause kicks in. It kicks in this offseason. And with Kyrou at that time, I don't think he was playing as well as he is now. So that very well may have changed. But that is a player where I would look to trade. I would trade Noah Dobson for all three of these players because I think that they're good enough to really give the offense a boost. We've gotten a taste of life without Noah Dobson. And I don't think Noah Dobson's a number one defenseman as many people around the league might think he is. I think Dobson. You are fine if he's your second best, if he's your third best, someone that doesn't have to eat up 25 minutes a night, do like handle the responsibility of the full power play one. I have a lot of faith in him in a smaller role, but this notion that he's a number one defenseman, I'm just really not buying it. So those are three guys that I would trade Dobson for. Any objection?
Kyrou
Who was it? It
is the
was
one. Kyrou, Pettersson, and who was the third? I'm sorry.
Marner.
Well, Marner's a no-brainer, and also it's for the same reason not happening.
Yeah.
But the other two, yeah, 100%. Especially if it's not a big ad. Like, we've had this discussion about Pettersson so much at this point, whether it just be as a general topic, as a topic towards the Islanders. I mean, I had my wife ask me who he was the other day because I've searched him on our TV YouTube so many times. And I guess she pulled it up the other day and she's like, who the hell is this Elias Pettersson guy? You got like 10 different things up here. But yeah, it's getting
Relatable.
pretty bad with my YouTube scouting. But yeah, definitely. If it's and with Pettersson, I think people are struggling to understand that if they do move him, I don't think they'll be getting that much. Like a lot of people are saying, oh, Dobson isn't even close. Maybe I'm wrong here, but I think Dobson is close. I think both of their values are a little lower than they were maybe at this point last year. But
Definitely.
the thing you have to keep in mind with Pettersson is that cap hits 11.6, I believe, for 7 more years. So even if you love the guy, there's great risk involved. He, as Jack said, he hasn't looked good. You know, we don't know if it's injury, if he doesn't want to be there, whatever it is. You know, it seems maybe a little bit beyond JT Miller because it's not like JT Miller left and poof, everything was fixed.
I have to say
So
one thing about
go
Elias
ahead.
Pettersson. I have no knowledge or no inside information on this, but I wouldn't be surprised if the Islanders were honestly his preferred trade destination. Now,
I could see that.
that might sound crazy, but think about his life right now. He is under an insane amount of spotlight where the organization is just constantly throwing shade his way. You have just so much drama all the time. I don't think he would be dying to go to some huge market team where the cameras are constantly flashing, and you have Bo Horvat here. You have, as many hate to say it, like this is a well-run organization. Things like the JT Miller issues, those don't happen here. You get the
No.
best out of those players that might have had character questions in the past, like Robin Leonard, like Tony D'Angelo right now. So that's just a point I wanted to make. I wouldn't be shocked if like we were number one on his list of where he wanted to go.
Yeah, and he's super close with Horvat, so I don't know if we'd be number one, but I could definitely see whether he says it or not, I could definitely see him just wanting out of there. I know it was reported that he said he wanted to stay in Vancouver. I think part of that personally is him trying to control the situation a little bit. His protection doesn't kick in till July 1. And supposedly there was this handshake agreement between he and Vancouver that if they were to trade him prior to July 1, they would let him pick his destination. So I think by him staying, by him saying he wants to stay, is kind of him reminding them, hey, we had this deal. So if you do trade me, I'm picking my spot. And three guys I wanted to bring up, two that were already brought up just now by Jack. Marner, Ehlers, and Pettersson. Three guys that are always in trade speculation. And what do the three players have in common? They all play in Canada. So they all get a little bit abused by the media. They're all, every time they have a bad playoff, oh, this guy's not good. This guy's soft. This guy's this. I think it takes a lot of heat off of these guys getting out of Canada, especially for those who are not from Canada and are European and speak a different language. It's that much harder with the media when they're in your face every day. Think about it. This is not your, it's not your first language they're speaking to you, and they're coming at you hard. So a guy like Pettersson, I'd imagine, would not mind leaving Canada because I don't know one US market that puts as much pressure as they do in markets like Toronto, a market like Vancouver. There's probably a couple of Montreal, a couple others. It's just harder there, you know, and I could tell you if I was a player, I certainly wouldn't want to be there. So who could blame them for wanting to get out too?
I agree.
And
And
I also, or sorry, Jack. I was just going to say, I also think Pedersen's kind of playing the game, saying like, oh, you know, I don't want to be traded. Like he's trying to keep the media off of him. It's been a circus up there the whole year with the JT Miller stuff. And I don't think, like, I think he's trying to just kind of mitigate all of the noise that's around him. And I mean, the Islanders definitely have a good PR person in his ear, like a Bo Horvat, which can help him. But to me, I don't think he's going to get moved in the season. I see him getting traded at the draft. I
I
think
could
this is
see
an
that, Green.
off-season draft thing.
And because it's not an easy trade to make because of that cap hit either. It's a big
Exactly.
cap hit. And when teams see their picture a little clearer of how much cap they have, and maybe even, you know, some trades start happening beforehand and teams say, you know what, we were, or a re-signing such as Marner, a re-signing such as Rantanen, if those guys go back, there's less options for these teams that are seeking out superstars. So, you know, I agree. I think it probably waits. And it's closer to the draft. But at the same time, and I said this to a couple of my buddies, I could just see Lou pulling the rabbit out of the hat and being like, boom, Elias Pettersson. And it would make perfect sense to base it around Dobson because Dobson's not in right now. Barzal just went down and be like, hey, here's Pettersson. And this is what you have for the rest of the season. This is the Barzal replacement. Go do what you can do. And he's here for much longer than just this year.
I mean,
What you
if you
mentioned
want to
about.
be, I was just say, if you want to be that like delusional fan holding on hope, I mean, there hasn't been any rumors, anything out there about Pettersson being shopped to a specific team or just being available in general now. And whenever there's not news there, that means there could be news when it comes to one team, and that's the Islanders.
Yes.
So you never know what Lou is doing behind the scenes.
To that point, that's why I brought Jordan Kyrou into the conversation, just because, like, I'm trying to see if there's someone out there that has any sort of indication that there was ever a chance they're going to get moved. Like, maybe Lou's talking to them, because you're just never going to know. And Doug Armstrong, the Blues general manager, I don't know if he's similar to Lou, but him and Lou clearly have some sort of friendship or relationship, just because, Bortuzzo last year, and obviously Perunovic this year. Lastly, just a few guys that I was looking around, because the thought of trading Brock Nelson, I'm trying to find guys that, like, maybe you could take a chance on and maybe see if they can handle that load to replace them. So these were two names I dug up. First one is going to be a surprising one, and it's just because I've seen a lot of negative noise surrounding him, and it's Shane Wright from the Seattle Kraken. I think he was taken. He got in the draft, he was pushed down. Like, he was supposed to be the first pick, went down a couple of spots. He's been playing better as of late. He actually scored two goals last night. So I don't know how low or how eager Seattle would be to move on from him. But just in case it was really not working out there, I could see that being a very surprising target to have your eye on, just because he's so young. There's potential there. And Trevor Zegras is definitely another name that's just kind of been floating around trade rumors for a while. Maybe you could take a chance on him. All of the Ducks forwards seem to be struggling under their head coach Cronin, which he gets a lot of heat. So those are just a few names. Wonder what you guys are thinking, if you're trying not to get any of them or would be open to it.
Of those two, I'd prefer Zegras. Even
Yeah, and you
though
can
I
buy low.
in yeah, even though in our group today I was kind of
I was
very
the
down
only
on
pro
Trevor
Zegras
Zegras.
out of the, well, there's five with Tyler, but he didn't really answer on Zegras. But out of us three plus Ethan, I was the only one that said yes on Zegras. And I just say that be similar to what Jack said on Mittelstadt, buy low opportunity. And I believe he's only signed for next year beyond this one. He'll still be RFA status after that, but if it goes that poorly, you still have his rights and you could either give him a new deal or just ship him off for something else. I'm not giving away a first round pick for him. I don't think he has that type of value at this point.
No
If it
way.
takes a second and a little something or somehow even a third, do it. Why not? Like, let him play the rest of the
Agree.
year here. Obviously, he wouldn't replace Barzal's productivity, but he could fill that role for a little bit of a crafty little, smaller forward that sets up other players. I think it would be a nice buy low move. And I also think because it's not at it, Mittelstadt's only one more year, but because it's not a long term deal, it wouldn't stop you from getting a bigger fish after Zegras.
Yeah,
And I mean,
so
he's making
and
less
the
than
boom could be
six.
a big, big justice boom.
With Zegras, I don't love him as a player, but it's the same logic as you. Definitely willing to take a chance and see if you can find
Get him
lightning in a
off
bottle.
TikTok and let's see what he could do. Make him delete TikTok
Absolutely.
and let's go from
Yes.
there.
I mean, listen, if he's making 5.7, he's an RFA after next year. He's 23 years old. He
23.
only
That's
has
what we
he's
got to keep in mind too. He's 23. Not
He's
2019
20,
draft. You're younger than Dobson.
23. He's from the New York area. I know he grew up a Ranger fan, but we can get over that. I mean, he has 6 goals and 9 assists, and I think it's 31 games this year. So he hasn't really been lighting it up, but who on the Ducks is lighting it up anyway?
And he's been
Like,
banged up too.
yeah,
All
he's been
very
hurt.
true.
He had the NHL cover curse a couple years ago. I'm applying that to the NHL. I don't
Crazy, he was
care.
the cover.
He was the cover, and
I
he's
was
been
thinking,
terrible ever
is
since.
that a thing?
It's not a thing. I'm making it a thing because he's been horrible.
Yeah, that's fine.
I mean, like,
Move.
listen, of the two, like you mentioned Shane Wright, Jack, like, I'll take Zegras over Shane Wright. I
Yeah, Shane Wright's a
think,
little boring of an addition to me, to be honest.
like, I haven't watched enough of Shane Wright. Like, not that I've watched a ton of Zegras either, but I've watched him way more than Wright. I think that there's more upside if we're going to be buying low. That's probably the way I would go. But like, what, Jack, what are you ideally giving up for either of those guys? How much are they costing?
That's a good question. And I'm not going to act like I know the trade market.
I can't
Like,
imagine it would be much. And you
I
can't do it
don't
if it's
know.
much.
I don't know, but with players with that sort of talent, I'm willing to take a chance. Now, as much as I'd love to keep going on about Shane Wright, we got to get to the green room. But before we get to the green room, I want to ask you guys a question because I actually have something to lead us off. So Ryan Pulock, his injury. You guys, who was the player that took him down?
Jackson Blake.
Yes. And now we're going to go to Noah Dobson. Who was the player that crashed into the boards with Noah Dobson? Columbus Blue Jacket. Tate McRae.
Sillinger.
Cole former Islander Suns.
Sillinger.
Cole Sillinger and Jackson
Former
Blake
Islander Suns are taking
are
out Islanders.
responsible for two injuries. So Jason Blake, Mike Sillinger, got to do a better job raising your kids, man. Now off to Greeny.
I will say that I've seen some people complain about it. I think the Jackson Blake one was totally incidental. I know it came, it looked, it was a bit of a slew foot, but I think he's just trying to skate by the net and
Yeah.
flipped him. I think no part of that was intentional. But green room, let's go to the green room.
All right. Well, that transition, we'll try and make this quick because we got some good questions to go to after this. But this is going to be a positive green room. So we'll start with six straight wins at UBS Arena. This is tying their longest ever home win streak since UBS opened. They had a six-game win streak their first season at Belmont, which was that terrible COVID year. And they haven't had a longer win streak at home since that final year at the old Coliseum. They actually won seven straight games between November 11th and December 2nd. So we'll see if they can match that. I believe their next home game, yeah, it's the first game after the Four Nations, home against Dallas. So we'll see if they can do that. And then just overall, I mean, we know the Islanders have been playing well over their last 14 games. They're 11-3. And over that stretch, they're actually tied with Winnipeg for the most wins in the league. And that's since January 5th. So the Islanders have now been, because this is February 5th when we're recording, it's a full month where they've been the best team in the league.
Stanley
So
Cup
shout
preview
out.
on Friday night.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And we'll get to that preview in a couple of seconds. But I also want to mention that with the win the other night, the Islanders are now actually exactly where they were a year ago. They have 57 points through 53 games. They had 57 points through 53 games last season. So it's the first time that they've actually matched their pace that they were on last year. Although the Islanders have three more wins this time around, because last year they had all those overtime losses, the merchant loser points
Losers.
that they were. And then more good vibes, the penalty kill. We didn't really get to mention the special teams. The power play's still been bad, but the penalty kill in the last 12 games is 25 out of 27. That's 93%. That's the best penalty kill in the league over that span. So
Holy.
shout out to the PK actually contributing and making our special teams a little bit less of a joke. And then, Jack, I know you were tweeting about Brock Nelson approaching was the Isles' all-time goal scoring list, moving his way up there. His deflection, nasty deflection the other night, was his 46th game-winning goal as an Islander, which puts him third all-time behind Mike Bossy and Brian Trottier. Bossy had 80, Trottier had 69. Nice. So we'll see if Brock can eventually get there if he gets that next contract. And then before we get to the Jets preview, got to give a shout out to Ilya Sorokin, who, as we touched on briefly, has been unbelievable during this win streak. Over his last seven starts, he is 7-0 with a 1.16 goals against average, a 961 save percentage. And then if we take that a little further against high danger or in high danger situations, rather, he has a 918 high danger save percentage and a 933 penalty kill save percentage. So that's a big reason why the PK has gotten better. It's also a big reason why the Islanders have just been winning games, because Ilya's been a brick wall. As Rocco, I believe it was Rocco that mentioned, he won the first star of the week last week. So congrats to him. First time doing that. And his win the other night against Vegas was his 20th of the year, which now makes it four straight years that Ilya has won 20 games. That ties him with Rick DiPietro for the second most consecutive 20-game seasons If he wins 20 again next year, that will tie him with Chico Resch for the most in Islander history. So shout out to Ilya. And
Chico.
then, and Chico, absolutely. And then just looking ahead, we're playing Winnipeg. We're actually playing Winnipeg twice in the next 8 days by the time you listen to this. The Islanders have had a lot of success against Winnipeg since they moved back from Atlanta. They've won 8 of their last 9 games overall, including 4 of their last 5 in Winnipeg. So we'll see if they can continue that. The game on Friday is the first half of a back-to-back. They will then play Winnipeg on, I believe, March 4th, which is the second night of a back-to-back, although they're home for that one, and they play the Rangers the night before, so don't really have to deal with travel. But that was the green room, positive green room for like the first time ever, and we'll see if next week we can keep that positive streak going if the Islanders keep winning.
Yep.
Next week we'll be on break, right?
Yeah,
Yeah,
we could
next
do.
week.
We'll probably have an episode still, right? And maybe the following week we'll take a break because it'll just be Four Nations.
We have 2 games, and there isn't a roster freeze over the Four Nations, which I was actually kind of surprised about. I figured
Yeah, I was too.
nothing would go on, but we'll
I
see.
think
Maybe
when
like
is
the
the only
All-Star.
roster freeze is like Christmas break, maybe?
Yeah,
Yeah, maybe
it's like
the
those, but it's only like 3 days though.
Yeah, I think it's just, the CB they wanted it in the CBA, so when guys are home with their families over Christmas, they're not getting trade news, which is fair. They're not playing games anyway.
I don't know if you guys saw, it was an article from Pierre LeBrun in The Athletic today, who he was asking a bunch of GMs. He was like, so is the Four Nations face-off kind of like pushing up your guys' trade deadline? Like, are you trying to make trades for the Four Nations? And every single general manager was like, no. No, as long as we get what we want, somebody get what we want. Someone offered me a first round pick. Yeah, we'll do it, but we're in no rush. I
And
just thought it
also,
was
what are they going
funny.
to say? Yeah, I'm using it as a deadline and I'm not making one trade after it. Of course, if the right trade comes up, you're going to make it after.
And just
Well,
saying, the Four Nations has no effect on Brock Nelson's trade value. I've seen that posted out there.
no,
There's no way.
he's what, 33 years old? He's been in the league forever. His value is what it is. Even when he was cold, I kept telling people that he's going to get a first round plus if he gets moved, which I'm not really convinced he's going to anymore.
So
We'll see.
actually, real quick before we get into the questions, do you guys care about the Four Nations? Are you going to be watching?
I'll
I'll be
be
watching.
watching, but
Love
I'm
it.
not. It doesn't. I love the Olympics because of the history and the tradition and the pride. And it's nice that we're getting best on best. And I know they wanted to do it around the NHL. So it's four countries, all players participating have to be playing in the NHL. But it's just like a Temu Olympics to me because you don't
To me,
have
it's.
Russia, you don't have other good countries, and you don't have some of the top players in the league participating. Think of Leon Draisaitl. He's German, and there's not many other NHLers that play for Germany, but it's still a guy you want to see in the Olympics. You want to see play for his country. And, not that you're rooting for them, but someone like them potentially making a run is pretty cool. If he plays against McDavid, that sort of thing is really cool to me. So it's a nice idea, and I get why they're doing it, but it's just not even close to the Olympics for me.
I love this idea so much.
It's
Like,
fun. It's fun. I just think it's. I
just think
just
about.
worry. I have PTSD to getting hurt, to be honest. Or bleep that out, Grinny.
Yeah, that
To him
makes
getting
sense.
hurt in the Olympics a few, 10 years ago, probably now. But it really
Yeah.
affected the team that year.
Think about the NBA doing their little in-season tournament, how stupid and meaningless it is that those teams like get anything for winning that. That's just so pointless. Like, our in-season tournament are four of the best, like our four countries facing
Super
off
team. A couple
with
super
their best
teams.
players. This is how you do an in-season tournament. Credit to Gary Bettman and the NHL. I love this idea, and I definitely look forward to watching it.
And I want to see how US fares against Canada because they've been on paper so much better than us basically my whole life. And
Yeah.
we've now gotten to this point where I think, quite honestly, the US is probably just as good. Like on paper, Canada has the tippy top of superstars. But right after that, USA has better goaltending. The defense is pretty even, and the offense overall is pretty even. So I'm really curious to see how they fare because I kind of want to break that. Oh, Canada's the best. Canada's the best. Canada's the best. I want to, like, we own the Stanley Cup. I want to now own the Olympics and the Four Nations too.
I'm also just
100%.
interested in like how Oh, I think the guys are going to go hard, but like, I'm just wondering
Oh,
what
they're
the
going to go
effort
hard.
level is
They're
going
going
to
to go
be.
hard.
I would think, and also for every Islander fan out there, we can listen to Brendan Burke, who's going to be calling the first
Yeah,
game,
that's cool
Canada
too.
against Sweden. So shout out to Brendan. Big opportunity for him. So I know Isles Nation will be listening, at least for him, in that first Canada Sweden game. So there's that.
Absolutely. And with that, we're going to go into some questions.
Absolutely. All right, so we got a good bunch of questions. Obviously, the winning has spurred on a lot of questions from you guys. So thank you as always. Always tag us at Isles House, submit any questions. We'll try to answer them all. So we'll start with our guy, Phil Jewell at PhilJewell81. So he says the Isles have two games in hand on the Devils. They trail the Devils by 5 points. If they win those two
Five?
games in hand,
Yeah,
I
the Devils
believe
played a lot
it's
because they started in Europe at the
five.
beginning, remember? So they're like a
We're
little
not
bit ahead
5 points
of.
behind New Jersey. That can't be right.
Five games in hand or 5 points, you said?
No, it's we have two games in hand. Let me
Oh, I'm
look at the
sorry.
standings real quick. They have 66 points. We have 57. Sorry. So we have, I guess he and submitted this before they played. So we're nine back of New Jersey with two games in hand. So if we win the two games, we'll then be back by 5 points. If that happens, he wants to know, do we think top three in the Metro is still possible?
No.
Possible, yes. Without Markstrom and Nico
Hischier.
Hischier.
Mathematically, they're not getting into the top three of the Metro this year.
No,
I'm
I.
sorry. The Islanders have been red hot. What did they won? 8 out of the last 10, and they're still not even in a playoff spot. And this is probably going to be their hottest stretch of the season. They're not going top
But
three.
here's
And
the
Phil
thing.
sent me a text when he posted that and said, "I want to see. I wish I could have seen your face when I put that as a question." So thank you, Phil, as always. But no, stop dreaming.
I actually think it's realistic because the
Oh my
Devils
God.
and listen, I don't think it's going to happen, but I think there's a better chance of it happening than what you think
Phil's
because
feeding you boys too much.
the Devils without Markstrom,
And
they have
Hischier.
not been playing
Yeah, but he's
well,
coming
and
back.
Hischier.
No, Jake Allen stinks, but he's coming back. And I also think my other part of this is if that top three of the Metro is broken up, it's probably going to be by the Rangers and not us. I'm sorry. But they have a lot of talent. They made that big move. And I think it would be
Still
them
behind
ahead
us.
of us. We're ahead of them by a point, maybe.
I know, but I
And
still want to know
again,
the game in the standings.
we're in the midst of our hot streak, and some of these other teams are cold. You know, it all
So
comes out in the
nice.
wash eventually, and it'll probably still be those tops. I don't think the top three is moving. I still don't. I know the Devils are dealing with a goaltending injury, but I think they have enough offense to back it up, and it'll be Caps, Canes, Devils. That's my top three. I don't think it's changing. If it changes, I will give you guys all the credit in the world. I do not think it's changing.
Makes me so happy to look at the standings and see us above the Rangers, honestly.
Are you guys
Sort of
looking at the
stays that
standing?
way.
Are you guys looking at the standings now and like you're happy?
Yeah.
Or are
Yeah.
you?
Because sh shout out Johnny Laz. He gave me my joy back, that tramp stamp bet. I'm all in on the Islanders making the playoffs.
Shout out to Johnny Lass. Yeah, I think that's a reason for everybody to root for them to make the playoffs. So we have that.
Absolutely. Ridiculous bet.
Yeah, completely ridiculous. Okay, next question. Let's do this is from Legacy Sports at Legacy Sporting on Twitter. If Barzal is LTIR'd, which it is
He's
very
probably,
possible, that's going to
yes.
happen.
They need the room. It's going to happen.
Who do you see them going after to fill that hole?
I
So
mean,
is the
it's such
easy
a wide
answer
open
Pettersson?
question.
Like is it, I guess is that the easiest one?
That's who I would like them to do it with. But it's, yeah, I mean, the thing is, too, you got to understand Barzal makes a lot of money. What does he make? 9 point something.
9.5.
So they're, in all likelihood, they're not filling all 9.5 of that. You know, they might get a not Zegras or a Mittelstadt per se, but one of those types of players that makes 4 or 5 mil and just covers, and they'll put them on LTIR so they have the room. But I don't think they're going to bring in anyone that covers close to the 9.5.
I do think they're going to trade for Mittelstadt, and the reason I do is because the moves that have been made
You
over the
think or you
last year.
hope? Time
No,
out.
I
Think or
well,
hope?
I actually think they're going to do it because the moves that have been made in the last year are the trend is they're buying low and they're not giving up that much. And this guy is available. He's on the block wanting to be moved, and he's not going to take up the full 9 million. He'll definitely be a good add. That's what I think he's going to do. I do think he will be on the team before the like at the trade deadline. That's my prediction.
Can I give my buy low candidate that you guys already know? Anthony Beauvillier.
I can see it.
Just he's out, Barzy's out for the year. You bring back his bestie. That's the move.
I mean, I
I
because
don't even think
the
you'd
reason,
have to
okay.
LTIR him. Doesn't Bo make like 750?
So Bo is making 1.25. Let me quickly give you my reasoning for this. So it's not just
You're
because
both
like
going, you're
Barzell's
both
out.
going. I just want to let the listeners know that you're both going hard overhead, but finish your point.
Correct. I am going hard overhead. I love Anthony
And so did
Beauvillier,
Jack.
but I think that at this point, the most realistic option for the Islanders going forward is like that soft buy. Like, I don't think they're going to get the big splash, at least
I agree with
during the
that.
deadline. And so I think one that makes sense is Beauvillier because we know the Penguins are selling. Beauvillier is cheap. You know that he fits in. The Islanders can add to the bottom six. He's not going to cost anything at all.
No.
And like, I just think if we're going to be adding around the margins, which is what they should do, what I think they will do, getting a guy like that, and even like you could do Mittelstadt and Beauvillier. Like, if you gave me Mittelstadt and Beauvillier,
And it
I'd be
would be
like, you know
interesting to
what?
watch.
Yeah. And I'd be like, you know what? That's worth a shot. You probably don't have to give up that much to do that. I think that's kind of the way you go. And
And it's guys that could
then.
help next year too, which is that's what I think too. You can't, that's the one thing when people talk about buying, in no way, shape, or form with this team can you go pure rental. It has to
Yeah.
be a move. It's either a very cheap buy for a rental, or it's a buy with now and next year and beyond in mind. You can't. I saw some people say Besser, like I'm not even thinking of Besser one because I don't think he's the best fit. He's a shoot first, not the fastest guy in the world type player. I don't think he's for this roster. He's a nice player, just not for us. And I think, you know, the Ehlers, the Marners, those guys of the world, they're probably not getting traded, right? Their teams are in the middle of a playoff race. So Bo, like a Bo or a player like Bo is a good idea. And I think again, the nice part would be that even with a Mittelstadt, it is nice that you could look forward to him at least next year as well and
Exactly.
begin retooling, building the roster for beyond the season. But let me ask you guys this quickly before we move on to the next question. Greeny, you mentioned the soft buyer. Now, if they were soft buyers, would you be okay if they were soft buyers and didn't move any of the pending UFAs, meaning you're risking losing Brock for nothing and you're risking losing Palms for nothing? Because that's where it gets really interesting. And that's where I find this deadline to be one of the most curious in recent memory for the Islanders. Because if you buy and purely buy, you're at great risk of losing guys that are at the top of the trade boards for nothing. And when I look at these trade boards, there's not too many names that intrigue me with the Islanders. So it's very interesting.
The way that I look at it, and it's a really good question, and I can totally see people being on both sides. I think what would be smart would be you ask for the moon for a guy like Brock Nelson, and if a team is going to overpay because they're desperate, fine. But I also think that it at this point would be a disservice to just completely sell. Unless, of course, you're gonna like take the assets you get from Brock and you're gonna flip them for a piece for the future. Like, I'm okay with them holding on to these guys, trying to win and get in. And I know this kind of changes what we all thought a couple weeks ago. Like,
A lot's changed, yeah.
I'm fine with them doing that, but also setting that high price. Like, I don't want them to not offer Brock at all and say we're not trading him at all. I would like them to be like, we'll trade him, but it's going to have to be at our price. And if a
Yeah, you
team
have to
wants to
listen.
make that,
You should be listening
then
on a lot.
100%, 100%.
Yeah, I would listen.
Zach?
And it's just before Jack goes too. I think someone we didn't mention is you could move a guy like Pageau too, if the right offer's there. It's not just Brock and Palms. It could go beyond that if
That
you really want.
wait, that was. I'm sorry, Jack. We'll let you go after. This actually, that just jogged my memory. I wanted to bring this up before when you mentioned earlier, Rocco, that like the type of player that like gets a ton at the deadlines, like that third line
And
checking
now the
center, all
cap's going
that
up and the
with the
5 mil
cap going
doesn't
up.
kill you.
I
Someone would pay a pretty
honestly,
penny for Pageau, I think.
I don't know if this constitutes a hot take. I think J.G. Pageau is the most valuable Islander they have because he can
Before
do
Ne above
more
Nelson?
above Nelson, and that could
I
be
don't
the
agree
hot
with
take.
that, but I would say right after Nelson. And you get to
Because
keep him for next year, which is nice, I guess.
you get him for next year, but like he plays in all situations. He's a righty. He's good in the faceoff dot. He's a playoff performer. With the cap going up, it's not that terrible of a contract, and he's proved that he can still play. Like, I think a team like Minnesota, who we keep tying Brock Nelson to, or even a team like Colorado has so much offensive firepower, they could use a specialist like Pageau in the middle of their lineup. Someone like that, I think, can be more valuable. It's almost depending on the team. A specific team might find Pageau more valuable to them than Brock.
And but he's
But
another one. Like you said, if you're moving Pageau, you ask for the moon. I saw some
100%.
speculation like the Islanders retain half and get a second or third. I'm sorry.
It
If
has to
they
be more than
retain
that.
half, it has to be a first, at least.
Absolutely.
Half,
Agreed.
2.5, and you have to eat it for next year. I'm not eating half unless it's a first.
You're
I might
telling me.
not trade him at all unless it's a first, to be honest, because next year as a rental, he's the type of guy that a really good team that's desperate that has someone hurt might give you a first. So if you don't get a really high price now, you don't have to move him, but you should, again, at least shop him and at least listen. I feel that
We
way about
just
a lot of this
saw.
roster. May feel a few guys, we don't have to go that deep into it, but there's a lot of guys on this roster that I think they should be listening to. And you could also take the approach, if you do listen and you get blown away, take those assets and go buy someone else.
We just saw
With
Mikael Granlund get a first round pick. Mikael Granlund and Cody
Exactly.
Ceci get a first round pick.
And he's having a good year, but he's not Brock.
He's not
I don't
Brock,
even
and
know
he's
if
not
he's
even
Palms.
Pageau. I'd rather have Pageau than Granlund.
Yeah, I agree.
With the original question, I would be, it depends on where they are by March 7th. That's when the trade deadline is. I can't really project where this team will be in the standings, because when it looks obvious to project,
Not top three in the Metro.
it just gets more and more chaotic around here. So I really don't know. I would ideally like to not lose our pending UFAs for nothing, but I will say, when Greeny said Pageau is really valuable, I don't think he's more valuable than Nelson, but I certainly think he's more valuable than Palmieri. You add
Yes.
Pageau to your team that's trying to contend for a Stanley Cup. I don't think he'll score as many goals, but I think the way he plays will translate to more playoff wins. So I agree with that point at some capacity. But we should keep it moving. What else? What other questions do we got?
So should we do two more?
Yeah, that's fine.
Perfect. All right, so let's do this is from Justin at Justin6913. Would you guys agree that Noah Dobson has become more expendable with how seamlessly D'Angelo and Perunovic have fit in? Seems like the egregious mental errors have miraculously evaporated from the Islanders once Dobson was taken out of the lineup, or I guess got hurt and was out of the lineup.
Yeah, so I what I said before about him being an ideal second or third guy is what I want from him. I think that we actually need a number one defenseman, like someone that can play the power play, or ideally D'Angelo and Dobson can split that. Yeah, it definitely looks better without Dobson right now in the short sample size, but he still is a pretty good NHL defenseman, which we do forget to acknowledge sometimes. So second or third, I do think he's definitely more expendable because I don't see him as a number one. So if he's not a number one, then it's not like we have this guy that's the answer to all of our questions moving forward. So yeah, I guess I see him as more expendable, but I also don't think that it's like I need to trade this guy. I would try to get him on the right contract and just in the right situation, and not just by a better number, by better deployment. Like, I just don't want to see him try to carry the load as a number one anymore.
Yeah, I think he's very expendable, and I also think if you do move him though, it's got to be for an upgrade now. Like you're not moving Dobson for futures or things like that. It has to be one of those types of trades that you trade him and you go out and get the best player in the deal. So you trade, I would move Dobson plus for a Kyrou or Dobson plus for a Pettersson or whoever else. We don't know who's going to be available come the summer or come. No, there could be a couple more names come the deadline when teams decide they're all out sellers. So, you don't have to trade him. Obviously, he's an RFA. And if he does stay and he gets another contract, I'm 100% giving him a bridge. I'm not giving him that long-term deal. I want him to prove it. But yeah, he's definitely more expendable than he's ever been, in my opinion.
Completely agree. And I think this is a message to Islander fans because we're all so hard on him and he deserves it almost all of the time.
He's
But
soft.
like, because he's totally soft and he definitely has his obvious flaws, like for sure. But I think we all need to realize that the way other teams view Noah Dobson is in a lot more positive light than how we view him. We see him every night and we see every minor flaw. I think to a lot of teams out there, they look at a young right-handed offensive defenseman who had, what, 70 points last year and quarterbacks a power play, even though he's probably not really good at that. Like, that's still a valuable guy. So, like Rocco said, even if you move him, you need to make sure that you're getting top dollar for him. That's still a really valuable position, a right-handed top four offensive defenseman. So if they are going to move him, which I think we're all in agreement that they probably should, it needs to be for a legitimate package. They shouldn't just cut ties and give up on him.
And I will quickly say on Dobson before we move to the next question, moving him now, I think would be wise as well, because if you hold on to him and he remains what he's looked like over this season and half of last season, the value is going to be shot. Right now, I think he still has a ton of value. And yes, you might be selling low if you move now. If he bounces back and becomes a 70-point defenseman, we might look back and say, oh God, we sold low. It wasn't the wisest thing. Devontaeves type deal. But if you sell now and what we've seen is who he is, it would be a really timely deal. So we'll see what Lou does. I don't think he ends up being moved. I think he ends up coming back and being a part of this team down the stretch, but we'll see. It would make a lot of sense. I mean, they've looked good since he's been gone, and now Barzi's down and they need another forward. So that's what I personally think they should attempt to do, but obviously, a very hard deal to get done.
And also, the last thing, real quick, is like if you let the other team potentially start to negotiate an extension with him, that could make him even slightly more valuable. I know he's an RFA, but
Yeah.
like if someone
I
else
think
can give
you
him
could
an 8-year
even,
deal.
or you could even attempt just an example off the top of my head. You could try to get someone else's RFA to be. So it's sort
Yeah.
of an even deal. Like, not this player exactly, because Minnesota won't move him, I'm sure, because they're in the middle of a race, but a Marco Rossi type who they've had contract disputes with that has a lot of talent. Like, that would be a pretty even, nice double change of scenery deal in my opinion. Not that Rossi needs a change of scenery, but he's been rumored out of there for a while now. So that would be a nice deal for both sides. So something like that would be really nice. I will see if it gets done.
For sure. All right, let's round it out. This is from Jay at you, Jason. Now, don't kill me. Let me ask the question. Short and simple. Do you believe this roster has the talent to be a legitimate Stanley Cup contender? Now that you
Not
see what the roster looks like, how they've played, do we have any change of heart?
no,
Not right
period.
now. No, they would need to add. They would need to add more. They need to get players back from injury.
If like you had Dobson and D'Angelo splitting the power play units, that works defensively. The actual team defense is interesting right now. The goaltending position looks that way at the moment. We really would need a forward boost. We'd have to be big time buyers at the deadline.
Not enough firepower.
Not enough. I
Yeah. Even if they
can't get.
just, even if they got Pettersson and Barzal magically appeared healthy again and they went into the playoffs, I still don't think like they're a big fish plus depth away from being that type of team, in my opinion.
Agreed.
No, I totally agree. But and tell me if I'm delusional, which I very well may be. But I was thinking the other day, like with the way that they've been playing that Trotz type of hockey, if they faced pretty much every team in the East outside of maybe two of them, I actually think they would have a pretty decent chance of winning a round.
Yeah,
I
that's a
think
different question, though.
I think so,
Oh,
but I
no,
think that speaks
totally,
more towards
totally.
the I think that speaks more towards the East being the weakest it's been in a while. Like, yes, they would have a shot, but who are the two teams? Like you said, two teams. So I'm assuming
Florida,
you're talking about
Florida,
Florida and
Carolina.
Carol, right? Like the Capitals have had a great season, but it's a good point because I could see the Capitals going into the, like, if the Islanders played the Capitals in the playoffs, they might beat them. Honestly, they have a
They
nice team.
might.
They have
They
really nice depth,
really
but
might. Yeah.
they don't scare me to the point I'm like, oh God, I not really too optimistic about this one. As you said, the only two that
Exactly.
would really, Haynes and Florida, I think no shot. Like, I think those would be 5-game series.
I have another one.
Yeah. Ooh.
So it's funny because since the Leafs are actually a really good team, but we
No.
just can't take them. No, we can't take them seriously is my point. But we're not beating the Lightning in a 7-game series, I don't
I don't know.
think.
I think
That
we.
was no, that was the third I was going to say.
They're not even in
But
the field right now,
I
right?
could. Yeah. I think, but a healthy Markstrom, I don't think we beat the Devils. I think they have too much firepower.
I think we'd beat them.
Okay, so
You
like
could,
my.
but I would put them maybe three or four.
I've watched so many Devils games, not just against the Islanders. I don't understand how they have as many points as they do. I don't
But
see anything
you know what it
special.
is with them, Greeny? And this is why I like them. I think they have a lot of 16 game players where they have a guy like Connor. They have a guy like, they added Dylan, they added Pesce,
Nation.
Nason, guys that have
Nason,
that
yeah.
experience in the playoffs that are going to be pains in the ass to play against. And when the game allows you to be more physical in the playoffs, those guys can step up. So I think this is a better version of the Devils for the playoffs specifically than what we've seen over the last few years, where I th last year they missed the playoffs, right? They had a down year, a lot of injuries. The year before they had a great regular season and I think beat the Rangers, right? And then lost after that. That was like their coming up, and I thought they were gonna fire on all cylinders after that. They didn't add the right guys. This offseason, I think they added the right guys. I'm not saying they're gonna win the cup, but I think they are a bit of a, not a true contender, but like a Florida or even the Canes after adding Rantanen, but I think they're in that mix because they added playoff style guys. I think that was their goal and they did a good job of it. And keep in mind, a team like the Devils, we know they're going to be buyers. They're definite buyers. It's not a question. So they could add a couple more guys like that. So
It's
I think
true.
they'll be
It's
pretty
true.
nice.
And it's like the reason, really, the reason that I wanted to ask the question was in part because of how wide open the East is. And it's like, I think the Devils and Canes are on like a collision course to play in the first round if we don't think the Isles or the Blue Jackets can get that three seed. And it's like, there's a decent possibility if the Isles get in, they could play the Caps in the first round. And then like if the Devils knock off Carolina and the Islanders advance, they could be playing the Devils in round two. And like, I know we're getting so far ahead, but it's like those are better matchups to me than what the Islanders have had to deal with the last like three or four times they've been in the playoffs. And
Absolutely. Give us
it's
anybody
the
but Carolina, please.
seriously.
And it's the old saying too, get in the playoffs and get a hot goalie. You see how Sorokin is right now. If they were to get in, I'm not saying they would beat anybody, but they would have a shot against anyone because of Ilya Sorokin. If Ilya
100%.
Sorokin plays like peak Ilya Sorokin, they have a shot at anyone. Not saying they would beat anyone, but they have a shot against anyone because when their goalie plays at his best, he is an absolute superstar. So they would have a shot.
Definitely agree. So I think that wraps it up for tonight, right, gentlemen?
Yep.
Yes, sir.
All right. Follow us on Twitter at Isles House. And yeah, have a great night, everybody.
Thanks for tuning in, guys.
Thanks, everybody.
Father wears his Sunday best. Mother's tired, she needs a rest. The kids are playing up downstairs. Sister's sighing in her sleep. Brother's got a date to keep, he can't hang around. Ayo's house, in the middle of our street. Ayo's house.